Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm chapter 8. I would like to look at Psalm 8 tonight because of one verse in particular here in the Psalm. It's verse 4. Psalm 8, verse 4, it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" What is man? What is man? Every now and then I try to enter into the word I try to enter into the word every time I preach it. But every now and then we really enter into the word. Sometimes the word really reaches us, and this reached me. What is man? What is man? Man is so proud of himself, and he's so expectant of things from God. And what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And how amazing is it that he would take the time, and let's see if that'll get us, that he would take the time to visit with man. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him or her? David, speaking to God, asking God this question, we expound it saying, considering who you are. Considering who you are. And everything that you control. And everything that you order. And everything that you direct. Considering the greatness. Considering the infinity. Let me just ask a quick question. Where does space stop? You know, all that stuff traveling, and that's all on a flight path. Considering the boundless universe that is governed by you. Governed by him. That's what David was saying in verse 3. He said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Amazing that you would take the time to visit him. It's amazing that you would take the time, that he would take the time to visit. For various reasons, there are times that I have to study from home. Different reasons. And when I do, there is something that happens that is a common occurrence. I mean a very, very common occurrence. We have this little dog, Ellie Mae. And while I am sitting in my chair writing, I have a spot at home that I like to study. And while I'm sitting in my chair writing, she will come up to me with no hesitation. There is no hesitation in her. There is no reservation. She doesn't come cowering. I mean, she just comes right up to me. You call that boldness. But she comes right up to me, and she doesn't jump, but she'll stand up and put both of her paws on my leg, and she'll look at me. She does this all the time. And she'll just stand there looking at me. And I'm sitting there writing, and she'll come up, you know. Sometimes she scares me. But anyway, what she wants is, she wants me to stop what I'm doing. And she wants me to look at her. That's what she wants. She wants me to look at her. And she wants me to touch her head. And I do. I like grab her ear. You know, she's got floppy ears. And I will. And when I do that, she hops down and goes on about her business. She's good. She got what she wanted. She's satisfied. The other day, I was studying, and I was deep in study. You men who have had to study know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you're just drawn in, and you're writing, and it's flowing, and your heart is, you're in it. You're in it. And she did that. She came up to me and did that. So I ignored her. I was deep in study. And she wouldn't go away. I thought she'll go away in a minute. And she wouldn't go away. So I kept on ignoring her. So she started nudging my hand and my arm with her nose, trying to get my attention. And when she did that, this actual thought went through my mind. And I don't know if this is fine or shameful. I don't know what it is. But this is the thought that went through my mind. I thought, I'm sitting here writing, and I thought, do you not realize how important what I'm doing is? You're a dog. All right, you're a dog. Do you not realize, do you not see what I'm doing here? Do you really think that I ought to take the time? Do you really think that I ought to take the time to stop working on a message from God's holy word concerning this great, glorious salvation that Christ accomplished for his people through his death? Do you really think that I ought to take the time to stop doing that just to give you what you need right now? Who are you? Who are you? Really, who are you that I would stop something this important? What I'm doing is actually important. Who are you that I would stop something this important just to look your way and to reach down and touch you? You're a dog. You're just a dog. Then I thought, who am I? Honestly, who am I that God, he does important business. Just consider the heavens. He does important business. The business of the throne. The government is upon his shoulder. Who am I that God would take the time to look at me and to reach down and touch me? Even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from their master's table, don't they? I stopped what I was doing, and I did unto her what I pray my Lord and God will do unto me. In the midst of the great importance of his controlling the universe. He is controlling the universe. In the midst of that, how pitiful is it, meaning full of pity in his heart, how pitiful is it that he would take the time to be mindful of, to turn his countenance toward the countenance of his face, to reach down his hand for unworthy, undeserving, sinful men and women like you and me. How full of pity is that? What is man? What is man? I tell you what man is. Man is a sinner. What is man? Man is a sinner. That's what man is. That's what we men and women are. We are sinners. We are sinners who by nature are not mindful of God. It wasn't until God said to David, "Seek ye my face," that David said, "My heart, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Genesis 6 says that our minds are only evil continually. Is that not so? Is that not so? Our minds only dwell on evil things. That is so. Turn, it's one page in my Bible. Turn one page to Psalm 14. Verse 1, it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." That's a fool who says that, but that's one way of reading that. The other way is, the two words "there is," they are in italics. They were added by the translators. If you remove them, the original text said, "The fool hath said in his heart, no God." The fool has said, "No God, there is no God," but the fool has also said no. "They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." That is man. What is man? That's me and you in our flesh. Wicked before God, not even mindful of God. But how amazing is it to think that in spite of man, God is mindful to him. Even though man is not mindful of God, God is mindful of him. Go with me over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." Where is his mercy great toward them that fear him? In the person of his Son. In the person of his Son. Verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." How did he remove our transgressions from us? in the person of his son. He laid them on his son. Amazing. He laid them on his son. He dealt with them in his son. He shed the blood of his son in order to remove our iniquities from us. If I could give one true word of good news, it's this. In Christ, you are not a sinner anymore. How can that be? I don't know, but it's so. That's an amazing thought. Verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, like as a father pitieth his children. I tell you, if you want to get your heart squeezed, have something happen to one of your children. Pity, pity, pity. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He remembers. Isn't that good news? He is mindful of the fact that we are dust. He knows our frame. Like that little dog, I understand that little dog's whole world is basically wrapped up inside our house and a little bitty fence in the backyard. And nothing important going on in that dog's life, but it's important to that dog, you know. That's us. Our whole world is confined to this little ball. He knows our frame. He knows that we're just dust. From dust we came, to dust we will return. He knows that. He knows our worthlessness. He knows that. He knows we only take and don't give. He knows our emptiness. He knows our frailty. I love this though. Psalm 40 says, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Amazingly, in Christ we can say, the Lord thinks upon me. Go with me back to Psalm 8. Verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I love how David acknowledged, you are the Lord, but you're our Lord. The Lord is our Lord. The God is our God. Verse 1, he said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Let me ask a question here. What is God's name? I think that's a very important question. I think everybody on earth ought to be asked that question. What is God's name? Everybody talks about God. What is God's name? Here's the answer. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. There is no other name. There's no other name. That name is above every name. Do you see, look at verse 1. Do you see how it says, O Jehovah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Our, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. O Jehovah, our Lord Jesus Christ. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. Call his name Jesus, because he'll save his people. Call his name Emmanuel, because God is with you. Who hast set thy glory above the heavens? Look at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? That last line is not a question. It's a statement. Who set his glory above the heavens? He set his own glory above the heavens. He set his own glory there because he earned it. When he earned it, he set his own glory there. The Father set his glory there because Christ earned it. He was owed it. The Spirit set his glory there because he earned it. We, his people, set his glory there because he earned it. He earned it in the life he lived, that beautiful, perfect life he lived. Can't imagine. We can't imagine living a life like that. One day we will. That glorious death he died, he earned it. Verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes. Our Lord said in Matthew 11, he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Why did he do that? Even so, O Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. That's what you wanted to do. Verse 2 says, out of the mouth of babes hast thou ordained strength. Because that's what you chose to do. That's who you chose to ordain to it. You chose the weak things of the world. I am so glad to hear that. The foolish things of the world. If this word of God said that God chose the strong and the wise, we would seriously doubt it was us. But when he says the weak and the foolish, we say, that's me. He did that because that's what he was mindful to do. Verse 3 says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Our Lord visited man in his mind and will and purpose before the world of man ever existed. He visited man in creation when he made man in the garden. He visited man in justice when man sinned against him in the garden. He visited man in judgment. In judgment, he judged man. He visited man in judgment when he came to redeem man from his sin, his people, the chosen ones of the Father. He judged them in Christ on the cross, dealt with them. And our Lord, and this is glorious, our Lord will visit man. His delights were with the sons of men. Our Lord will visit man in communion. He will visit with his people. Do you ever like to visit? Do you ever go to somebody's house to visit? Let's just get together and visit. Our Lord will visit with his people. Every time they need him, every time they need for him to just look at them. Every time they need him to reach down his hand and touch them. He will visit with his people and commune with his people every time they need it till the day that he returns for them. Honestly, if you find yourself needing him, I know you will understand what I mean by this, but when you realize I feel far from him, I don't feel his presence. I don't feel when you need him, go to him in your heart and see if he doesn't come to you. Draw nigh to God and see if God doesn't draw nigh to you. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes it's not the first time you ask. Sometimes it's not the very first time you lay your paws up there. Sometimes he might ignore you for a moment. But you just keep him there. You learn from Ellie Mae. You just keep them there and you just keep looking. And you just keep looking. And he promises he'll commune with you. He'll look at you. He'll reach down and touch you. So verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. It is true that when God made Adam, he gave him dominion over everything else that was made. He did. That is true. But that's speaking of Jesus Christ. He has all dominion. He has all power. Everything is in his hands. All things are under his feet. All things, all sheep, all oxen, all beasts, all birds, all fish, you, me. All things are subject to him. And I was going to turn to Ephesians 1, but read the end of Ephesians 1. Every time we go to Ephesians 1, we read the beginning. Go to Ephesians 1 and read the end. It says Paul is praying for the Ephesians that God would give them an understanding of the fact that all things are in Christ's hands. And everything is under his feet. Everything is subject to him, especially the glorious church that he's brought to himself. So verse 9 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. What privileged people we are who can say that the Lord, the God of all things, the God who is actually God, the Lord, is our Lord. We belong to him. He belongs to us. And we have this promise in Psalm 115. I'll quote it to you. It says, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. The Lord has been mindful to us. Lord, be mindful again, we pray, for Christ's sake. All right.